please, to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46 in your Scofield Bible, page 621. We'll be reading the verses responsively, all of the verses of Psalm 46. And let's please stand, as we always did, for the reading of this passage. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And let's finish up together on the 11th.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful book. Thank you for all the truths that we're privileged to hear and learn in this place. We pray that you'd bless tonight. And once again, we pray that our hearts would be open to the word as the soil is ready for the seed to be planted, and help that which is sown will thrive and grow and lend something of nurture and blessing to our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, in the same chapter, same psalm, we have the same words. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the God of Jacob. I do not know of anything that our God is called that encourages me any more than this little statement, the God of Jacob. Our Heavenly Father, I come tonight as I've done for these going on 31 years, almost every Sunday night for these many, many years. I come to stand before the same people, behind the same pulpit, representing the same God, asking for the power from the same Holy Spirit. But give us a fresh outlook on the old truth tonight that we shall present. And may it be understood by some who've never understood it exactly like this before. May the power of God hover over this pulpit now and in this building, over the hearts and lives and bodies of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many names given for God in the Bible. I do not have time, nor would I be able to even remember all of them at this time. But there are some times in the Bible where God is called the God of somebody. For example, we will not turn to it, but in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14, Elisha said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" So God is called there Elijah's God. Then nine times in the Bible, you have the term mentioned, the God of Abraham. Now, that means that God was Abraham's God, and nine times you have that mentioned. 13 times in the Bible, God is called the God of Isaac. I think, and this is by memory, so I may be wrong, I think about 5 or 6 times you have in the Bible the God of Israel. However, several times in the Bible you have mentioned the God of Jacob. Now, think about this for a minute. The God of Abraham, the man who left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. The God of Abraham, the man who had faith to believe that God would give him a baby, him and Sarah. He was 100 and she was 90. Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, the man of the faithful. By every odd, the father of the Jewish people, or the Hebrew people. He's called the God of Abraham. That's not unusual. It's not unusual to think that God would be called the Lord God of Elijah. Elijah, the man that prayed down the fire from heaven and set at naught the prophets of Baal. It's not unusual to think that God could be called the God of the mighty, powerful Elijah. And yet, it is unusual to think that God would ever be called the God of Jacob. It just doesn't seem to fit. The God of Jacob. The God of Elijah? Why, of course. As I said a while ago, he prayed down fire from heaven and caused the prophets of Baal to say, "The Lord, He is the God." The God of Abraham? Why, of course. The father of faith and the faithful, father of the Jewish nation, a man probably who exercised more faith than anybody in all the Bible. Abraham? Sure, the God of Abraham. And it's even understandable to call the God of Isaac. It was Isaac who was offered by Abraham, his father, on the altar at Mount Moriah. Isaac was no baby when Abraham offered to offer him as a sacrifice. Isaac was told by Abraham what was going to happen, and Isaac was not any child. He was old enough to know what was going on. And yet Isaac was willing to follow his father as his father told him that he should be offered as a sacrifice. And so, understandable, the God of Elijah, the God of power, the God of Elijah, the God of courage, the God of Abraham, the God of faithfulness, the God of Abraham, the God of faith, the God of Isaac, the God of surrender on Mount Moriah. And it's understandable also when God is called the God of Israel. Are you listening to me now? Israel is the other name for Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which means prince. And it's understandable, I think, that God would be called the God of Israel, because Israel means prince. And when Jacob came to Jabbok and there wrestled with God through the night, or the angel of God through the night, his name was changed to Israel, and the word Israel means prince, and he was a prince with God. He also made it right with his brother Esau and so forth. And so it's understandable that the God of Israel would be the God of forgiveness or the God of blessing. But Jacob, the truth is, Jacob never did anything. I dare you to find anything in the Bible Jacob ever did. Jacob did not amount to a hill of beans. He didn't do a thing. Why, in the Bible, the first thing you have after Jacob got born, it says, when he got a little older, it said he tricked his brother out of his birthright. I mean, he got his brother's birthright, which was the right to have the double portion of the inheritance. He got his brother's birthright, which meant he got the priestly rights of the family. He got his brother's birthright, which means he got the right to be in the line of the lineage, to carry the seed of the coming Messiah, and tricked him out of it. You remember the story how that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup, and Jacob, that's what Jacob was. The God of Jacob? The God of Jacob? Why, it was Jacob whose mother told him to, when his father was old and blind, and his mother said, "Now you put some hair on the back of your neck, put some hair on your hands," because Esau's brother was hairy, and Esau was the firstborn of those twins, which meant he was the one to get the blessing from his dying father. And his mother said, "Now, sweetie face, you go, and your dad's old and he's blind, and you tell him that you're Esau." And Jacob goes up, and his dad feels his hairy hands and feels his hairy neck, and he says, "You sound like Jacob, but you're bound to be Esau because you're hairy like Esau." And Jacob's father gave to him the blessing that was rightly Esau's. That's all Jacob ever did. And then when Esau said, "I'll kill him." By the way, I'd have killed him too. "I'll kill him. Don't be too unhappy with Esau. If somebody had taken from you all Jacob took from Esau and tricked his own father when he was old and blind, and Esau said, 'I'll kill him.' And Jacob's mother said, "Sweetie face, you better leave the country. You better go down to the old place and stay down there, because get away from your brother Esau. Esau's going to kill you." What in the world does the Bible mean? Maybe the God of Moses, the God that parted the Red Sea. Maybe the God of Moses, the God that sent manna from heaven. Maybe the God of Moses, the God that sent the water from the rock in Horeb. Maybe the God of Moses, the God that led the Israelites for 40 years. Maybe the God of Moses, the God that parted the Jordan River, or the God of Joshua. Maybe so. But the God of Jacob. Jacob never did anything. And here is why God uses this term. You see, every one of us has Jacob in him and Israel in him. The old man, Jacob, and the new man, Israel, the same man. And there is in you, Jacob, and there is in you, Israel. There is in you the old nature and the new nature. Now, what is God saying here? God is saying, "He is always my God. He is my God when I'm at Jabbok, on my knees praying all night. He's also my God when I'm tricking Esau out of his birthright." God was saying, "I am the God of Jacob." Now, there are several things I want to call your attention here. In the first place, He's my God when I have sinned. He's still my God. God wanted to tell us that when we have sinned, He's still our God. He's our God when our lives are counting. He's our God when our lives aren't counting. God just doesn't love you just when the sun is shining. God loves you when it's cloudy. God doesn't love you just when you're profitable to Him. God loves you when you're unprofitable to Him. And God is saying, "Okay, Jacob, you tricked me. I'm still your God. Okay, Jacob, you tricked Esau. I'm still your God. Okay, you tricked your dad and deceived your dad. Okay, I'm still your God." And I've got some wonderful news tonight for you. If you're in sin tonight, God is still your God. And God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Hallelujah! God is my God even when I'm sinned. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, if you've got sin in your life, He's still your God, and He still wants to forgive you. You hit the old-fashioned mourner's bench tonight. Get on your knees at the old-fashioned altar. Ask God to forgive you, and God will use you again. By the way, I want to make this statement again tonight. Not only is God the God of Jacob, which means He's my God when I have sinned, but I am the preacher of Jacob. I am the pastor of Jacob. This is the church of Jacob. We're not going to kick you out when you sin. We're not going to call some business meeting of the local board of Pharisees and vote you out of the church because you sin. We're going to do what Jesus does. We're going to run to you and try to help you and try to pick you up and try to use you again and say what you want to say. Critics, call me what you want to call me. Somebody, "Oh, the First Baptist Church is just a church of sinners." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's what Christ Jesus came in the world to save, is sinners. I'm not condoning sin, but I am not condoning people who do not love sinners because Jesus loves sinners. So I'm saying God looked at Jacob. I'm the God of Jacob. Now, if He'd have said, "I'm the God of Moses," that wouldn't have included me because I'd never be a Moses. If He'd have said, "I'm the God of Elijah," I couldn't pray fire down in heaven. He wouldn't let me have that kind of power. Because it'd be falling every day on somebody. But I'm not the God of Elijah. But tell you what, He included me when He said the God of Jacob. That means if you sin tonight, He's still your God. And that's why He said, "I am the Lord God," and He says, "The Lord God of Jacob is thy refuge." That's what Jacob needed. I don't have one flip of use for this modern kind of fundamentalism wants to vote everybody out of the church. Not one flip of it. I have a passion for the kind of fundamentalism that's trying to get sinners right with God and be used again for God.
I know churches spend more time trying to get folks out than get folks in, and that is not New Testament Christianity. The God of Jacob, He's my God when I have sinned. Tonight, have you sinned? He offers forgiveness to you. And that isn't all. He'll let you serve Him again somewhere. He'll use you again. There is not one person on the face of this earth that God will not use when that person comes and asks God's forgiveness. So come tonight. He is the God of Jacob. That isn't all. When God said, He's the Lord of Jacob, or the God of Jacob, He was saying something else. He's saying, I am your God when you're lonely. I am your God when you're lonely. Now follow me for a minute. Jacob had tricked his brother out of his birthright, a precious treasure. He had tricked his brother out of the right to carry the seed of the Messiah. What a precious treasure. He had tricked his brother out of the priestly rights for the family. What a precious, priceless treasure. He had tricked his father, and his father had given to him the blessing that should have gone to Esau. What a priceless treasure. And his mother said, get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you. You get out of here. And Jacob takes off for the old homeland, and the first night he goes to sleep. He has no motel. Motel 6 was not invented in those days. If they did, they didn't keep the lights on. But the mints were good. But Jacob had no place to stay. He had no travel lodge. He had no Holiday Inn. He had no place to stay. And Jacob decided to lie down and go to sleep. And he got a stone at a place called Bethel, and he put his head on that stone. And God said, I know my child has been disobedient. I know my child has been a deceiver. I know my child has tricked his brother. I know my child has deceived his father. But I am still his God. Now, Jacob was a young fellow. He was just a youngster. And Jacob was single. And Jacob had no family with him. And he was out for the first time away from his mama. And Jacob was a mama's boy. And Jacob, that night, God looked down and said, he's still my boy. Let me tell you, when God saved me, He saved me for better or for worse. And God said, when you're lonely, Jacob, I'm still your God. Tonight I'm talking to folks who are lonely, but He's still your God. God said, I'm the God of Jacob. Not just the God of Elijah, not just the God of Abraham, not just the God of Moses, not just the God of Isaac, not just the God of Israel. I'm the God of that dirty, crooked, sneaking fella, Jacob. Why? Because God loves you. Let me tell you something. Fundamentalism needs to learn something about the heart of God. What kind? I know a preacher that because his son broke his heart, he disowned his son. I haven't got any use for that kind of stuff. I'll guarantee you one thing. There are four people who are born into our family. I don't care what they do. Jack Hiles will never disown one of them. And my great heavenly Father never disowns the one of His either. Never does. Oh yes, I'm one of His own. A child He'll never disown. I'm His child. When I'm Israel, I'm His child. When I'm Jacob, I'm His child. The God of Jacob. He's the God, my God, when I've sinned. He's my God when I'm lonely. Why is He called the God of Jacob? Why did God choose Jacob and say, I'm the God of Jacob? Because He's my God when I failed. He's my God when I failed. Jacob never really succeeded at anything. Jacob never won a battle. Jacob never built an ark. Jacob never prayed down fire. Jacob never led a nation. Jacob never performed a miracle. Jacob never crossed a Red Sea. Jacob never sat on a throne. Jacob never preached a great revival. The rascal didn't do anything, and I don't much like Jacob. When I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do is take a glorified fist and punch Jacob in his glorified puss. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I don't like the guy in the first place. I don't care for sissies. I have not I have not, I haven't taught this before. Yeah, I have a mic, please. I have not taught, a little higher, please. I have not taught this before, but I happen to know that in the Hebrew, it says Jacob walked like this. And Jacob talked like this. And Jacob said, Mommy, do you think that Esau is upset with me? You say, how do you know? You listen to me carefully. You hear me now. Anybody who, when his brother has gone hunting, his home making soup, walks like this. Let me tell you something. Whatever else you can be, you guys can be a man. Learn how to walk like a man. Learn how to talk like a man. Learn how to act like a man. Learn how to sit like a man. Learn how to carry your books like a man. But if you don't, he's still your God. I wish you weren't, but he is. The God of Jacob. Every one of us has been Jacob. Every one of us has failed. There have been times when we, like Israel, have knelt at Jabbok and become a prince of God. There have been times when we, like Jacob, have tricked somebody and have failed and maybe have gone astray. There have been times when we, like Israel, were forgiving. There have been times when we, like Jacob, were selfish. But our God is so careful to tell us that He's the God of Israel, the new man, and the God of Jacob, who was the old man. And God loves you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how deep you've gone. I don't care how far away you've gone. God loves you. And tonight, come on back home, Jacob. God loves you. Come on back home, Jacob. He's your God, the God of Jacob. Come on back home, Jacob. This is the church of Jacob. We want sinners to come back, and we'll give you a chance to serve God again. Come on back home, Jacob. I'm the preacher of Jacob. Let the Pharisees say what they want to say. Let them call us a church of sinners all they want to. But bless God, Jesus came to save sinners. That's what it's all about. Preachers get up and preach on the blood and preach on it and preach on it and preach on it and then want perfect people in the pews. There's not a person here God will not use again if you'll come back to God. He's the God of Jacob. That means He's my God when I'm lonely. He's my God when I've sinned. He's my God when I've failed. Then He's my God when I'm backslidden. I've only known one time in my life when I'd call myself a backslider for any length of time. I've not always been perfect. I am now. But I've not always been perfect. Every time I make a statement like that, I wonder how it's going to look in my books of sermons. It bothers me to death. My enemies are going to read every sermon I preach. So they're going to try to find what's wrong. That's one way you get your sermons out, you know. But I've only known one time in my life when I did any serious backsliding. Mine's always been funny backsliding, you know. But when I was a teenage lad, all of a sudden I grew up. I grew from weighing less than 100 pounds to 140, which is my present weight. And then there's that other leg, too. But I grew in during that year. And to be quite frank with you, I never took a drink, never did anything immoral, as we count immorality, never smoked a cigarette, never said a curse word. I'm trying to tell you what a wonderful person I am. But I did get in the wrong crowd. Didn't drink, but I got in the crowd that did. I didn't do anything immoral, but I got in the crowd that was. Never smoked a cigarette, but as a 17-year-old lad, for about a 6-month period there, I all of a sudden discovered that I was big, I had grown, and I wasn't able to cope with it. I became, pardon the expression, but I became a little bit popular. And some girls wanted me that I shouldn't have had. And I didn't do anything what you'd call wrong, But everybody in the church knew little Jackie Boy wasn't what he used to be. And I can recall Mrs. Howard, my high school superintendent, walking up and saying, "Jack, we're praying for you." And I said, "Why are you praying for me? Pray for sinners. Pray for the crowd I'm with. Don't pray for me. Pray for my crowd." I couldn't understand. I really couldn't understand it. I remember that Mr. Skeeter, what a name, Skeeter. He came to me and said, "Jack, we're praying for you." Dr. Rutherford, one of my Sunday school teachers, came and said, "Jack, I'm praying for you." Proctor Boyd, the best Sunday school teacher I ever had, came and said, "Jack, we're praying for you." I couldn't understand why. And then one morning, on Sunday morning, the Hillcrest Baptist Church, I was sitting about right back there in an auditorium about the size of maybe these four sections here, maybe not quite that big. My pastor preached that morning, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, "You've been away from me, son." And all of a sudden I felt convicted. The choir began to sing, "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." When the choir began to sing that, I walked down the aisle and I said, "Brother Sizemore, I want to get right with God. I've drifted away. I've not drunk, but I've run with the drinking crowd. I've not been immoral, but I've been with the immoral crowd. I've not smoked a cigarette, but I've been with the smoking crowd, and I want God to forgive me." And that day, on my knees in my home church, the Lord God of Jacob took me back and forgave me. And I know what it is. I know how bright the sun shone the next day. I know how beautifully the birds sang the next day. Oh, let me tell you, have you wandered from God? The God of Jacob is still your refuge. Are you out in sin? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, I want to tell you something. You walk down this aisle. By the way, here's something interesting. Mrs. Howard never came to me and said to me, "I'm glad you did it." Mr. Skeeter, Dr. Rutherford, Brother Boyd never came to me. They didn't change the way they acted toward me at all. They treated me just like they always did. I still, Brother Boyd said, I quit going visiting. Brother Proctor Boyd, Joe Boyd's brother, and I, he's my Sunday school teacher, he and I used to go visiting every Thursday night together. I was in his Sunday school class every Thursday night. Well, I'd quit for about 6 months. Proctor Boyd didn't come and say, "Welcome home from the far country, heathen Jack." He just walked by and said, "Jack, see you Thursday night. See you Thursday night." Let me tell you something. If you backslidden tonight and you're away from God, you know who I'm talking to. You're like I was. Pray for sinners. You know who. But I knew. I knew what Mrs. Howard meant. I knew what Mr. Dr. Rutherford meant. I knew what Brother Boyd meant. I knew what Brother Skeeter meant. I knew I was away from God. And you know you're away from God. This book doesn't mean much to you. Your prayer life doesn't mean much to you. And you're living as Jacob and not as Israel. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. He's Jacob's God just like he's Israel's God. He comes tonight and says, "I am the God of Jacob." The God of Elijah? Sure, that's easy to understand. But there are times I'm not praying down fire. The God of Abraham? Yeah, that's easy to understand. But there are times I'm not leaving the Ur of the Chaldees to live by faith and step out or totally on faith. So God puts it in here and says, "I'm also the God of Jacob. I'm your God when you sin. I'm your God when you're lonely. I'm your God when you fail. And I'm your God when you backslide." He's still your God, Abraham. Down in the land of Egypt, ran from the will of God because of a famine in the land. Abraham, he's the same God that he was when you left the Ur of the Chaldees and had enough faith to believe he could care for you. Elimelech, Naomi, down in Moab, there was a day when you were in Bethlehem. There was a day when you served him in the will of God. Now you're out of the will of God, down in Moab. Elimelech, he's still your God. Naomi, he's still your God. Malan, he's still your God. Peter, out on the sea, fishing, totally unclothed. You just got through a few hours ago cursing and swearing, denying that you belong to God. Peter, Hey, Peter out there on the sea, he's still your God? He was your God when you walk with Jesus. He was your God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was your God when He healed your mother-in-law. I think that's one reason Peter backslid. He got bitter at Jesus because He healed his mother-in-law. You fellows know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hey, Peter! He's still your God. The same one, Peter, that took you to His own heart and chose you as one of the inner three. He's over on the shore right now. He's still your God, Peter. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, I'd rather be on a rock with Jacob. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, in Tarshish, He's still your God. He still loves you. He still wants you, Jonah. And by the way, He'll still use you. Now, if this had happened in our day, every religious periodical in America would have had a sermon against Jonah preaching that revival. Boy, he's got his nerve. There he is preaching a revival in Nineveh. I'll dead sure not go to one of those meetings. But if you did, you'd hurt the meeting. God wants to use you, Jonah! He's still your God! Not only is he the God of Jacob when I've sinned, the God of Jacob when I've failed, the God of Jacob when I'm lonely, the God of Jacob when I'm backslidden, but He's the God of Jacob when I'm weak. He's the God of Jacob when I preach in a meeting somewhere, and we have a great move of God, and I go to my room and I can't sleep at night because I want to praise God so much for it. But He's still my God when I preach somewhere and I fail. And I go hide somewhere because I don't want to see anybody because I know I failed. I was out in Southern California preaching one time at Pomona, California. I laid an egg big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs from. When I finished preaching during the closing prayer, I rushed to the washroom and locked the door in the washroom and stayed there for 2 hours till I knew everybody had gone because I didn't have the courage to face anybody. But let me tell you something. He loves me just as much when I'm in that washroom ashamed because I failed and because I was weak as He does those great meetings when the power of God sweeps across a great group of people. He loves me. He's not my God when I'm strong alone. In fact, He came because I was weak. He came because I'm a sinner. He came because I'm frail. He's my God when I'm weak. He's your God when you're on Mount Carmel praying down the fire from heaven and leading in a great revival. But I'm so glad He's not only my God when I'm on Carmel, and I've had a few Carmel experiences in my life. But He's also my God under the juniper tree. When I've lost my faith for a while and some Jezebel has chased me, I get under the juniper tree and I say, I'm the only one left. He's still my God. He sends angels to feed me and sends angels to feed you. He's my God on Mount Carmel when the fire is falling and revival fires are burning. And He's my God under the juniper tree when I'm weak and when I doubt Him. He's my God on Mount Moriah when I'm giving all to God. He's my God when I'm willing as Abraham to take my son and lay him on the altar. Abraham was willing to take his knife and pierce his son's breast. He's my God when I'm on Mount Moriah saying, God, all I have is yours and I want you to have it. But praise God, He's my God when I go down to Egypt because I don't trust Him like I should and I leave the will of God for a while and feel that God can't provide for me. He's my God on Mount Moriah, and He's my God in Egypt.
He's my God on Mount Carmel, and He's my God under the juniper tree. He's my God on Mount Sinai. When Moses on Mount Sinai left the people and went up there for 40 days and met God and got the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone, He's my God when I'm on Mount Sinai. But when Moses was on Mount Nebo, he had lost his temper, smitten the rock twice, and sinned against God. And God said, Moses, you've lost your ticket to the Promised Land, Holy Land. You're not going to go in. And Moses went up on Mount Nebo, and from Mount Nebo's lofty height, he viewed his home to take his flight. And God said, you'll never go in the Promised Land because you've sinned. Thank God, He's my God. If I'm behind the pulpit or on my knees at the altar asking God to forgive me, He's my God, the God of Israel, yes! But He's also, praise His name, the God of Jacob too. He's my God when I'm in Nineveh preaching. He's my God when great revival breaks out. But He's also my God when I'm on the ship going to Tarshish away from the will of God. He's my God when I'm having souls saved in Nineveh. He's also my God when I'm under that gourd, a little disgusted and discouraged after revival in Nineveh's all over. Let me just put it this way. Wherever you are tonight, He's your God. He's your God. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. What did Jacob ever do? Look in your Bible. I checked today in three different Bible dictionaries. I checked in three commentaries this week. I read everything there was to read about Jacob in my library. I read every verse in the Bible about Jacob, and I couldn't find that Jacob even gave some poor kid a dime to buy a candy bar with. He never did anything. And God said, I'm the God of Jacob too. Praise God. That means everybody in this room, He's your God. And He's not ashamed to call you His younger brother either, the Bible says. He knows you're made of dust. He understands your frailty. And He's your God. He's my God in Bethlehem. When Elimelech and Naomi are nestled in the will of God and nestled in the arms of God in the service of our God right in the middle and center of God's will, He's my God in Bethlehem. But He's my God when I go down to Moab. He's my God when I say, I'm 63 now. I think I'll be able to preach for 20 more years. He's my God then. And He's my God when I get up in the morning sometime and I say, I wonder if I can preach today. He's my God when I go home at night and I feel like I've got 20 more years to preach. But He's my God when I go back to my room at night after preaching several times in one day and I say to God, I don't believe I can do this anymore. I don't think I can do it again. He's my God. It's all settled. He's my God. The God of Abraham, good. The God of Elijah, good. But sometimes I'm not Abraham. Sometimes I'm not Elijah. Sometimes I'm not Moses. Sometimes I'm Jacob. He said, I'm still your God. He's my God when I build an ark and have faith enough to believe it's going to be a flood when it's never rained. And He's my God when I'm away from Him after the ark is built. He's my God when I kneel at Jabbok and wrestle with Him all night. And He's my God when I'm in Haran for 20 years outside His will. He's still my God. He's my God when I come back to Esau and say, Esau, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. Esau, I've got all these things I want to give you as a gift of penance. Esau says, Jacob, I don't want those things. Jacob said, Esau, please take them. I want you to forgive me. He's my God when I have a Christian spirit like that. He's also my God when I get a little bitter at somebody and have a little feeling at somebody. God is simply saying, I'm your God. You're one of my young'uns. I didn't save you because you're good. You don't keep saved because you're good. I saved you by grace. I'll keep you saved by grace. You're one of my kids. He's my God in Judea. When Lot is in the will of God, dwelling in the home of his uncle Abraham. But He's also God, Lot's God when Lot goes down to Sodom, away from God, useless, goes into deep sin, he still Lot's God. He was my God 38 years ago, last December 5th, when the doctor said, "You have a baby girl." We named her Becky. He was my God then. And he was my God the day when I talked to her on the telephone and she said, "Daddy, I can hardly move today." He's my God. He loves me. He didn't start loving me because I'm good. He doesn't keep loving me because I'm good. He loves me because he's God. And as long as he's God, he'll love me. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And God comes tonight and says, "Are you weak? Have you stumbled and fallen? I'm still your God. Let me pick you up." God comes tonight and says, "Have you sinned? Has the devil caused you to do something you thought you'd never do?" He says, "I'm still your God. Let me forgive you. Let me use you again. God, I've been in the fish's belly. I left your call. I went down to Tarshish. I refused to do what you said to do. You mean you'll use me again?" God said, "Yeah." He said, you get to Nineveh." And I love that scripture. The Bible says Nineveh was a great exceeding city, a 3 days' journey. And it says that Jonah got there in a day. He thought that fish was following him across the land. And he got there in one day. Oh, don't you know he felt good to get back in the will of God again? "You mean you'd use me again after what I did?" "Oh, yes. God, I cursed and swore. I denied when Jesus, when you were at your neediest hour, I had said one time, everybody might forsake you, but I did sure wouldn't. But I did. They asked me if I knew you, and I said no. They asked me if I belonged to that church, and I said no. They asked me if I was one of your followers, and I said no. And I cursed and swore." "You mean you'd use me again?" And Jesus said, "I don't have anybody to use but sinners. That's all I got." And just a few days later, old Dr. Rice used to say, Peter was standing in the back end of a pickup truck down the loop in Chicago on State Street preaching, and 3,000 people got saved. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. "You mean, God, you'd use me again? I'm Samson. Look what I did." God said, I got the biggest victory in your life. You're going to win right before you die. Sure, I'll use you again. I'm glad today that God was the God of Noah when he built the ark, but he was the God of Noah when he got drunk after he built the ark. I'm so glad that God was the God of Peter on Pentecost, but he also was the God of Peter when he denied him. He's the God of Jacob. May I just reach out tonight and may I just started, would you feel like I'm putting my arms around you for a few minutes? This great sea of faces, a lot of people here tonight who sinned. We're not going to cast you out. No, we're not. We're not going to make this place unwelcome. We'd rather have you here than anybody, because we want you to know there's a God that still loves you. And may I put my arms of love around you tonight and say, if you've sinned, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If tonight, if you are lonely, and nobody much cares about you, and you wonder if anybody understands. Sometimes I'll be on an airplane in the wee hours of the morning flying, and I'll say, I wonder if anybody knows where I am tonight. Nobody knows where I am right now. Are you lonely? Do you wish you could marry, but you can't? He who once was with you, did he leave you? Are you just new in college and you're lonely? He's the God of Jacob. He's your God tonight. Could I put my arms around those of you that have failed? All of us have failed. None of us has been perfect in our lives. All of us have attempted things, and we failed in those things. But God is the God of Jacob. He loves you. Are you backslidden tonight? I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Do you know whom God was talking about when that prodigal son's father took off to run to meet his son? He didn't say, come on in here, son. Get on your knees. Tell me you're sorry. And pay up. Do 40 push-ups, by the way, and run 10 miles around the house. He's looking for his son. And when he saw his son way down the road, he ran to meet him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. He was the God of that boy at home. He was also the God of that boy been away. He's your God tonight. And if tonight, if you're weak, He's your God. I'm so grateful that He was the God of Elijah. And I'm grateful He's been my God in times when I've seen great moving of the Spirit. But I'm so glad He's the God of Jacob.